You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells.
This week's rugby story begins in Western Sydney, and it's a young man who isn't afraid of taking risks and challenges. His family moved to France when he was young, and he played some junior rugby league there. When returning to Sydney, he left education at 15 to work. He returned to France and played for St. Estève, forging his own career and playing against seasoned pros. This was noticed by Catalan Dragons, where they promoted him to the reserve grade. Combining this with working as a PT and training youngsters, he grasped an opportunity when called up to the senior team and managed to represent France, now beginning a new opportunity with Wigan Warriors. Ladies and gents, Mr. Tiaki Chan.
Follow, like, share, subscribe and endorse us via Facebook, Trot the Egging, Twitter at @TrotTheEgging/@JohnHeth, Instagram @Trot_D_Egg_In, YouTube Trot the Egging, LinkedIn John Hetherington, and Spotify Trot the Egging.
Well, T, how have you been?
Yeah, I've been really good. Really good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thank you very much. So before we get stuck into your rugby story, mate, where was home for you as a kid and who lived at home with you?
So I was born and bred in Western Sydney, Australia, in St. Mary's, this place called St. Mary's, and with my mum, my dad, my older sister and two younger brothers, we all grew up together. Very lucky to have all of them.
So is that where the competitiveness comes from, mate? Having younger brothers and showing them who's boss and stuff?
I wouldn't say that. It's positive. So it's always competitive, but in a good way. But I wouldn't say that. It's, we always pushed each other, I guess, to be better. So in every way, not just on the field as well, so off the field. But that comes a lot from my parents, my mum especially, and my dad. But my mum, yeah, my mum's a big one on that.
Right, mate. So how was you introduced to rugby, and where was your first club team?
So I actually started when my dad was playing in France. My dad was playing for Catalan Dragons, in 2006 to 2008. So he done three seasons. I went over there when I was four and started playing for a local team called St. Estève. That's where it all started for me. And, just stayed there and learn how to learn, started playing rugby at that age and at a very young age. So.
How was the setup then? Do you remember much about playing as a kid at that age?
I do. I just remember that it was just a lot of running around, a lot of fun. You know, it was just for us as kids. You know, like you do, just having fun. There wasn't much structure and stuff like that. I was just starting to learn how to play as well, and I had my dad as well. My dad and mum would come watch my games, and you know, we'd have little runarounds against other little kids and stuff. So.
Would it have been contact to you, or was it like tag, you know, with the little like coloured?
No, it was contact. Yeah, it was contact. Right. I didn't really like it back then, but I don't think so. Can't remember much of it.
Wouldn't think it, mate, would you? So, what's the school set up like in France, mate? Is rugby part of what they do?
When I went back, obviously going back when I was 16 to France, 17 almost, I didn't go to school over there. It was coming to that age where it was like the end of school sort of thing, and I was pretty nervous and shy as well and timid when I went over, not knowing how to speak the language and that either. So I know that the boys that I played footy with, they went to school, and it was you're a student first and then you play footy. That's how it sort of was over there.
So after the third season that your dad played, did you go home? Did you stick around?
Yeah, after the third season that my dad played in France, we went back to Australia, back to where we were from. And then, obviously, I was eight then. By the age of nine, I was playing in a club over there. Just pretty much started my life over there.
How was it going back, mate? As a kid, you sort of, I guess you're like oblivious to that sort of thing, aren't you?
When I think of it now, you know, I'm very lucky to say that I've traveled a lot in my as a young person, and it just pushes me to even want to travel even more, to be honest. But I'm very lucky to go over have seen the world. But going back to Australia, I think that was hard. It was hard to readapt, I'd say. But it wasn't just hard for me. It was hard for my brothers, my sister, my parents, especially as well, you know, to try move all the family back again. You know, that was hard for them. But yeah, very grateful.
That's the thing fans don't see, mate, innit? As a family, the uproot that it causes, moving furniture, vehicles, like lives, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's always one, you know, when I'm not gonna be angry and be pissed off or say anything mean about people, but you know, I think that they see that when you're privileged when you're a rugby league player or you're a professional athlete, but there's a lot behind closed doors that people deal with, that we all deal with. And, you know, it is hard. There's, you know, like moving families, like we were young as well. And for my parents to move there and then move back, you know, we were very lucky, yeah, 100%, but it wasn't easy.
Oh, they don't see you Monday to Friday, mate, did he? They just see your game day, not the sacrifice you have to make. And, like, for instance, now you mentioned off recording about you were living with Tyler and that, but your family have no doubt back home, aren't they? And you won't get a lot of chance to see him or FaceTime him and things, will you?
No, exactly. And you know, obviously having my brother over in Australia, my sister's in Australia, and you know, my uncles, my grandparents, and then that everyone's in Australia or New Zealand, and not being able to talk to them or going to see them when, you know, that it's hard. But I don't look at that, because I feel like the boys in the team as well, in any team, they sacrifice so much as well to live out their dreams. So you can't really be selfish like that. You know, my parents are in France. They're only an hour flight away from where I am. Some of the boys, all their families in Australia or New Zealand, and they have to wait for the whole year to go past before they get to go see them. So I'm actually very lucky as well.
Each is in Wigan and all right as well, aren't they, mate?
Yeah.
Right, so the rugby setup then back in Western Sydney, mate, how does that work, and how did you find it going back playing rugby?
Yeah, that was different. Playing against, you know, fellas back there that you know, now today I play in NRL, playing with a couple of blokes as well that now play NRL or play professional rugby league. Is it's crazy when you think about it, but you know, that's the game back there. That's how it is, and the setup is, yeah, it's different. I wouldn't say it's better or worse. I think that they live for that, whereas, you know, you come to France or go to England, and it's not cultural as it is in Australia. I think in England it's a lot more cultural than it is, but in France it's not. The culture over there isn't just rugby league, it's more rugby union, for example, or soccer, football.
Yeah, no, I get it, mate.
So yeah, it's different. It's different.
Yeah. So growing up, mate, was playing rugby the ultimate ambition? Did school get in the way of that a little bit, or was it all right at school?
I dropped out of school when I was 15. It wasn't because I was a bad person to the teachers or anything. I think I just went there for more about seeing the boys and hanging out with friends talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously my parents weren't too happy about it at the time. So but my dad said, if you don't want to leave school, you got to work. And I went to work, and that the harsh reality of that is that, you know, you got to get up every day and go. So that changed a lot for me as well.
Well, I was rugby through the age grades, mate, and was there ever an age where you felt you'd kicked on and you were like on top of your opposition rather than just matching them?
Look, I went through playing as a youngster in Australia and all that stuff. I wasn't in any rep sides, caught up to any sides like that. I just was always just going through, actually, just through the motions. It was never really a massive. It was my goal, but I never my dream, but I never really thought of it to be possible. So yeah, it was a hard one, but yeah.
Yeah, because I imagine with it being up there with like the top two sports, mate, the pool is massive that teams can choose from. Well, we think it's big here, but it's not as big as there, is it?
Yeah, like we had We'd have under nines, for example, over there, and there'd be one Division One, Division Two, Division Three, Division Four, all the way down to Division Five or Six. Like there'd be there's heaps of teams. There's always, which is really good. That's why that sport over there is one of the highest paid played over there in Australia and New Zealand. So it's massive.
And then when did teams start showing an interest, T? And do you think working out?
Yeah,
because you're in a grown-up world sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I worked all the way when I was in Oz for about 2 years. I started working when I was 14, but I was still at school. I was working at Macca's part-time and McDonald's. That taught me a lot. And then went and started doing bricklaying, started an apprenticeship there for...
You could picture it easier, T, couldn't you?
No, but my dad said to me that you've chosen a tough one, but you know it'll teach you, right, like how to work. So
yeah,
it was good though. It was enjoyable, and I learned a lot from that as well, like life experiences. And then went to when I went over to France, I was working as well in Abattoir, the big boss for the Catalan Dragons. So that was he has his big butcher, had a massive abattoir, big meat distribution. And I was working there until pretty much I debuted.
Okay, so would you say you probably matured a lot sooner than most your age due to being in the adult world as a young man, really?
I wouldn't say that, because I think I'm still a kid in a lot of ways. But I think that I knew that I had obligations and I knew I had responsibilities. I think that's what sort of came to it. I wouldn't say matured quicker than other people, but I think that I learned a lot more and than certain people. But I still had my mom and dad that were there, and I was still living at home most of the time, so you know, they always looked after me. So if anything was wrong, or if anything didn't go wrong, I wasn't in the big wide world by myself, you know what I mean?
How to work at 14 without...
Oh, you're allowed to work, especially at McDonald's in Australia. Like, you're allowed to work when you're 14. But you're only allowed to do a certain amount of hours, and it's just pretty much teaching you and stuff like that. You're not on mass money, but it's just, you know, that back then when you're getting that money, you're pretty excited because you...
Yeah, feel like a boss.
Yeah, you feel like you're a man. So
that was good. Right, mate. So what age did you come back then?
I came back to France. I was in 2017. I was almost 17 then. So, almost 17 when I came back.
Right, and getting back in, mate, how was that? How are you in a new environment?
I'd say that I really underestimated coming back. I think for me, it was probably the hardest transition coming back to France, because I thought it was just going to be easy. And then coming back and I forgot how to speak French. I didn't know how to say a word. And then... really, pretty much relearning it again at my age, and that I was lucky that I had footy and my mates at footy that could speak like little bits of English that could help me out with. But it was tough, but I was very lucky again. So,
how would you communicate, mate? Would it be hand signals? Would it be like the basics, like sticking your hands up for the ball, clapping, whistling? How did that work? Oh,
yeah, like that. I've on the footy field and that, just, you know, obviously that have players that call things English, since rugby is an English game, you know, they have players that are English, so you just learn. But I know that I had, what's it called? I used to talk with Google Translate all the time, and that was massive. They used to always when I was off the field trying to talk to the boys and they couldn't understand me, so I just have to write a Google Translate and then that Google Translate it back.
So without you knowing, mate, you're mega resilient anyway, aren't you? Because you've been in an adult world, still as a kid, no offence, at 14, you're still a kid, mate, aren't you, T?
Yeah, 100%.
You've travelled into various places that aren't just an hour away, like you said. You've come through Southern Hemisphere, you've come over to France, mate, you've done the whole culture thing as a kid, which I think is easier as a kid, isn't it, T? Because you're just riding a wave as a kid, mate.
Yeah, I think when you're young, but you don't really see that either. Those you don't really get to see. You don't really think that it's a big jump. You just go with the flow. You go with what your family's doing, and then get to an age when it's a lot more difficult, because you get to the age where you start recognizing things or you know things, and you know it's hard. It is hard, but I'm, like I said, I'm not gonna sit here and complain. I'm very lucky to be where I am today, and I'm very lucky to have what very lucky to have my parents that have given me everything. So,
and you've not been work shy though, mate. You've earned it as well, haven't you? It's you've got to contribute as well, mate. Haven't you?
Yeah, well, I come from a family of workers. You know, from my great grandparents all the way to now, all of them are workers. Everyone, you know, we work hard. That's just, we've always been like that. Our whole family's like that. Nothing was given. So, a lot of luck, a lot of people.
Well, how was it feeding into the team, mate? Did it take long to establish yourself in the 13, or did you have to bide your time a little bit?
Where was this, in France?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, I played just local club footy when I was in France. So, you know, I was the first time I was going to be able to play for my brother as well, in the same age group. He was coming up to play for us. So we were allowed to play together, and it was fun. It was really fun. It was different, a different experience. They're very passionate, the French. And yeah, very different, I would say, the footy.
And where do you learn to develop what you need to do in certain areas? So, for instance, like you just said, the French rugby was different to back home, and it's probably different to here. So how do you adapt your game, or can you stay true to who you are and play what you see, sort of thing?
Yeah, I'd say, like, I learned a lot of things. Obviously, I was still very young, so I'm still learning. Then I was just keen, open, had an open mind about learning things. And there's things that you want to keep from your game as well. That's what makes you unique. That's what makes you a unique player as well. So that's what I'd say.
And how did the Catalans move come about, mate? Did they keep an eye on you once you returned and you were playing local footy?
Well, when I returned, I was playing local. And then the year after that first year went by, we won the comp with my brother. Then we went, I was in there, got caught up into the academy team that Catalans had. Played there for a year, and they stopped academy. And then I was playing for the reserve grade team for Dragons. That's when I started playing senior footy.
Did you notice a step up in standard, mate?
Oh, 100%. I'd say that the Elite One competition in France, when I started going when I was 18 playing there, it was tough playing then, because you're playing against men, for one, and men that have a life that knew who my dad was as well. So a lot of them would try to take me head off.
I was going to say, you did that into you a little bit of that, mate.
Yeah, they'd be into me. They were into me, but I think I had the wrong mentality when I first went up there. And, you know, I think that I started learning. Obviously, I was learning, I still am, but learning to how to cope with certain things and when people are like that, what to do. And that's just what you learn when you come through the senior footy, especially. It's very different to playing against guys your own age.
What viewers and listeners won't know, though, mate, a lot of seasoned professionals play Elite One, don't they? So it's like, you're probably having to throw a few just to show that you're not to be bullied.
Yeah, but that's where I went wrong as well, where it was, you know, they'd push me, and then it would just be take a little bit, and then I would end up hurting the team. And, I took that all the way through until, you know, that's why I probably didn't get to debut a lot earlier as well, because I had discipline issues and stuff like that with my on the footy field, and was only hurting me, not anyone else.
At least you recognised that too, didn't you? Like, because that is what life is. Life is a lesson.
Yeah, 100%.
Right, so when you're in and around them fellas, mate, you probably touched on it, but with the marker being over your head, did it take long to create your own image? Because you were linked with, like, your family name.
Yeah, I think that's what I love about my family as well, is that they never, you know, as much as everyone would say, it's hard to let it go when they say, oh, you know, your dad's this or your brother's that. And, you know, everyone, even my brother himself, we want to make a name for ourselves, and not live off the back of my dad's name. That's always a big one. Both my brothers, and my sister, we were trying to live off our own name and make our own name for ourselves. And it's trying to do the right thing as well, not to be an idiot sort of thing, you know.
So when you go into reserves, mate, how's your game matured, and how are you finding being back in France at this point? I imagine you're pretty settled at this point.
Yeah, well, when I was in reserve grade, I was pretty much almost fluent by then. Like, I picked up French really quickly. It took me a while I was playing consistent the first year, and then obviously my attitude went a bit terrible in the second year, and then I was actually very lucky that COVID happened and that my season stopped, because I wasn't playing good at all, and they probably wouldn't have kept me in reserve grade. My attitude was just wrong. The next year after that, a lot of things changed for me that year. I got caught up to start training for full time, like back into my season, with the Dragons, and then when I got up there and my brother Joe was already up there playing pretty much. When I got up there and started training full time, I just knew that's when I sort of realized this is what I really want. I don't want to do anything else apart from play footy. Like, I love footy. Like, this is my dream, and I can do it, sort of thing.
Suppose you're being held accountable for smaller actions, aren't you? Because you're climbing the level, so the video will pick up on any minor thing or foot, like even little things you didn't realise you were doing to you, wouldn't it? Like footwork or positioning on the floor, like speed around player balls, things you've probably overlooked because you've been allowed to.
Yeah, 100%. That was a big one that they taught me there. Just a lot of different things. Like I said, man, I can't say it enough. I'm still learning, but there's so much that I thought I was doing all right. And when you get up there with the big boys, you just learn that I'm nowhere near where I need to be. But also a good thing, because you sort of hold yourself accountable for training properly and, you know, all that stuff, getting yourself right and learning.
Was you ever overwhelmed, T?
Hey, sorry, what was that?
Was you ever overwhelmed, mate? Because it's quite a big step up, isn't it? Again, reserves to first team.
Yeah, 100%. It was big. It was a bit overwhelming, for sure, going up there first and that, especially because my brother was already there as well. I didn't want to ruin anything or do anything wrong by him. I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, he is my little brother, but I wanted to make sure that I was doing the right things and making him look good as well, not just myself.
I suppose, mate, you're always going to be nurturing, but also you've got to let each other breathe and develop as well, haven't you, mate? It's a fine balance, isn't it? It's difficult.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It is a difficult one, but like I said, you know, not many people can say that they got to play in the same game as their brother professionally as well. And, you know, I can truly say that, and that's one thing that I hold close to me.
It's very special, mate, and it's very, very rare.
Yeah, it is. It's special, especially for our family. I was very proud of that moment. That's probably one of my proudest moments.
Yeah. So when did you find out the debut was coming, and how was that week building up?
So it was actually 2022 came around, and I was still playing reserve grade. I went back down to reserve grade to play, and I just come off training full time with the Dragons, and I didn't get called back to train with them. So at the start, and I was obviously a bit bummed and, you know, very a bit upset and all that stuff. And then played the whole season reserve grade. And then after the last game, I called my dad up and was a bit upset because, you know, I was finished and I wanted to go back to Australia just to work, and was going to stop playing footy. Then I think it was a couple of days later after that last game we played, and the coach gave me a call and asked if I would like to come up back and train full time. And there was a few of us, and I trained. I was working as well at the same time. I was working 4:30 in the morning to 8:30 a.m. and then I was going straight to training from there, which was only 5 minutes down the road. So I said yes to that. But there was a few of us in there training, and it was pretty much like a mini preseason for us that were from reserve grade. They just wanted to get us up to standard. We were getting smashed, and it was the middle of summer, so we're getting smashed every day, running and gym and all that stuff, which was good because we were all fit. But they told us none of us were going to play that year, that it was just they already had a big squad and we were just there to get ready for the next season, and they were keeping an eye on us. And like footy, what happens in rugby league, that things happen. And about 3 weeks out from me debuting, I went back into my dad's office and I was upset again. Like, I was exhausted. I was also working as a personal trainer. So I was doing that in the afternoon after training. I was coaching and training little kids, like a little group of a footy team. So I think I was exhausted and that, and a bit emotional, and told my dad I was going to go. Like, I've had enough. And then, he just told me, and my mum, and they both just told me just to stick with it. Like, just to keep grinding at it and chipping away. And then, got a call from McNamara after one of the captain's runs where I was in the 21 and three players got injured on captain's run. And he called me up and he's like, "Oh, you're going to be debuting tomorrow." And yeah, it was wicked. It was a mad, mad thing, especially because my brother was playing as well. So I remember the phone call. Then I got upset on the phone, like, oh, emotional. Then called my mum up, and my mum was emotional as well. My little brother Cookie was very emotional. My sister, and then called my old man, my dad, and he's just like, "Oh, well, that's good. Now you got to prove it." This is very blunt. straight to the point, which was good. He was very proud there, but very made sure that it's just one thing to get named to debut. It's another thing to go out there and play good. So, and then told Joey, my brother, and went on to game day and was sitting in the sheds, and then my brother was the one that presented my jersey to me before the game.
I like that.
And that was very emotional. That was fun. It was good, but didn't get the result we wanted on the game.
It's a start, mate, isn't it? It's the start of what was to come. Which must to... So how was it seeing your name on the back of a jersey, mate, hung up? How was that?
Oh, it was wicked. It was it's just like heaps, very emotional, I guess, because it was pretty surreal. You sort of dream about that, and I know that a lot of people would love to be in that position, and even myself, like, not even a month ago, I didn't want to play anymore and I was going to stop, and getting that opportunity to play and seeing that, it was wicked. It was very surreal to think that my dreams started, like, it could be coming true.
I imagine all them R4 get ups, the Bricky apprenticeship, the part time at Mackey's, the Avatar, was all worth it in that moment, mate. I imagine.
Yeah. That was something that was installed on me. Working, it just gave me a good base. My brother Joe as well. He worked before playing. Cookie, my little brother, still playing, but he works at the same time, and always, I think it gives you a good base when you work. It just you don't take opportunities like that for granted, I don't think. So,
right, and how did the coach and the kids come about, mate? Because that's something probably nobody knew about you.
Yeah, well, I'd done I wanted to go back to school and do like personal training and stuff. It interests me, the sports and all that stuff, and all the gym and all that. And I got my ticket, my degree. While I was working, I was doing two things at the same time. So I got two diplomas in France for coaching and for personal training, like in the gym and working in the gym and that. And then the under 16s team for Dragons, like a school team, they needed someone to do that job, and I was doing it for them in the afternoons, just running the weight sessions and stuff like that.
Yeah, tricky is group that tea.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, some funny characters, but
yeah. Well, I imagine it was like unbelievable for them to see you doing it because of the journey you were already on, mate. And they want to be, they want to be T, don't they?
Yeah, I didn't want them to see it like that, though. I was more like their mate, to be honest. When I was taking them in the gym, they were showing me pictures of girls and all that stuff. And, you know, that age. And my little brother was in that team as well. So they would always just have a laugh with me. I was just one of the boys, which I liked. Preferred that, not the person that has to tell them what to do. Just, you know, they can have a laugh with me. And
rather than dictate, mate.
Yeah, 100%. It was one of the boys, which I preferred.
Right, and how did that season go then, mate, once you've made your debut? What was the... So before we go into it, what was the targeted games that you wanted to play that year?
I was just stoked that I got to play one that year. It was like... And I signed my first pro contract as well before that game, which the contract went from the end of 2022... to the end of 2023, so it was for this year, last year, and the year before that. For me, I was stoked, and it just I was only wanted to play. I was lucky enough to play three, but I only wanted to play one that year. Like, I was happy with one; I was very satisfied. But yeah, played that game, we lost. My debut, and then I played the week after that against Wakefield.
No, mate, it's like. Like you said, considering you were on the verge of jacking in and going home to being a fully fledged, full time member of Catalan's team and competing week in, week out, isn't it? It's some story.
But I think everyone's like got stories like that as well. It was never easy for anyone that path, the path of becoming a professional as well. So I played against Wakefield the second game, the week after that. I actually got suspended that game for a spear tackle. And that's when I got in heaps of trouble, not just from the coach, but from my dad as well. When he started telling me about, you know, that you can get away with that stuff in reserve grade and being dumb and you know, being ill-disciplined, but you can't get away with that in first grade. It's cutthroat and they'll get rid of you as quick as they got you if you do that.
That's fair enough, mate, isn't it? Like you said, straight to the point from your dad.
pulled my head in, pretty much. I had to pull my head in. My last game that year was against Wigan when we took all of the young fellas over to play against Wigan. And it was about 10 fellas that debuted in our team. That was massive. It was a massive game. Yeah. You know, playing against fellas that I play with now. But, you know, they had their full team and they were the team to beat. So,
yeah. It all stands you in good stead, though, mate, doesn't it? That's every step so far we've spoke about is all about transitioning into the player you want to be, mate. And you've got to take a few hidings to get to where you want to get to, haven't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Right, mate. So when the opportunity to go on loan with Toulouse come about?
So this was in the middle of last year and in just, it was maybe in June. A lot of the players were coming back from injury at Catalans as well, and you know, he still wanted me to be part of the mix, but you know, you can't not play and then jump back in and be sweet. You know, I'm someone that needs game time and I need to play as well to keep fit. And we have a dual registration with Toulouse. We had a dual registration with Toulouse at Catalans, and they sent me there on loan. It was probably one of my highlights of the year, to be honest. Meeting guys down there and seeing how it is down there and meeting a lot of new fellas down there. I love that. I love the experience there that I had. It was something I'll keep forever, man.
So was that something before you went there you embraced, or was it a bit like, I want to play here?
Oh, 100%. I think everyone gets that. Oh, you know, I want to play at first Super League. I want to play that. But when you go there, when I went there, it sort of humbled me straight away. Seeing how they train, how the boys are there, and you know, and seeing the guys that play there, what they've done in their career. I was a nobody to what they were. You know, you have the likes of that Sita Akuala, sorry, and you had Harrison Hansen as well, was massive Wigan legend, Tom Peru, guys like that that were just, you know, they looked after me heaps when I went there.
And are you someone that you don't mind picking the brains, T?
Oh, 100%. I think,
and ask for tips and hints.
I think I'm a bit too much like that.
I think you can't be too much.
I think I just ask them random questions. Like I'm someone like that, and then some of the boys crack up about it. They'll be like, you know, like I'll give that to anyone, especially those guys. I was always hanging around them, just trying to sponge off stuff that they were telling me of knowledge. You know, about everything.
Yeah. And when you went back, mate, did you feel a better player due to the dual reg? And did you feel ready to return then?
Yeah, so I think that's what it sort of made me enjoy, like learn how to enjoy footy, and what it really meant to, you know, when you're playing good and how it can. I felt bad because I got suspended there as well for an incident at Featherstone when we played in Featherstone, and I got yellow carded, but I got 2-game ban for something. But then to go in there on the Monday, the coach sent me back there on the Monday to play because I was getting suspended, but I wouldn't kick in until the week after that. So I was allowed to play the game the weekend after. And going to have to apologise in front of the whole team and seeing the boys that, you know, I let the boys down, and that's what hurt me. That's why I was like, you know, I got to pull my head out. I can't do that.
How do you find the travelling from France to play, mate? Was it a bit like, oh, again? Because I know, like you said, fans expect it to be the ultimate. And sometimes it's just you're human, mate. You're knackered. You've got stuff going on at home. You've got niggles.
I think it's very hard, but I think that's what makes Catalans. That's what's very special about Catalans, is that everyone's in the same boat as well. Like you said, everyone's got things going on at home. And it's I've got to say, it is hard. It's a hard one. But yeah, you know, I can't see them, you know, they've always been like that, and that's what that team is based on, is, you know, traveling and winning, and I think that's come in the last maybe 10, five years, I'd say, is the consistency in that club as well. So,
something definitely changed there, mate, hasn't it? It's not a guaranteed home win against Catalans anymore, is it?
Nah, not anymore. No. I think they got the right people in the right spots as well. So,
yeah, and I'm not asking you to badmouth anyone, mate, but how is it standing in front of a disciplinary committee or on a video link? Is it awkward? Is it a bit shitty?
It made me feel bad, out of anything. It makes me feel terrible, because it's just like, it's not right there, and it's blatant and it's stupid. But not only that, it lets your team down. So I think that's the thing that kills me. That kills you, is that you just know that you got to walk in there your team, or when you get sent off of Simbin, you just look at the boys that are on the field, and they're having to defend and play for you because you stuffed up.
You don't need reminding, I imagine, mate, do you?
No, they never do, yeah. But you feel it. You feel that it's, you even know yourself, it's your fault. So
yeah. Right. And when the move come, or the talks about extending a contract that out, mate, what happened around leaving Catalan? Would they have kept you? Was the offer there, or was winning too good to refuse?
Yeah, I think it was a bit, I wouldn't say too, it was too good to refuse, but I just really, I'm still a young player, and playing with fellas in that team that, you know, come from Wigan. You have, you know, Sammy Tompkins, probably one of the goats of the game. Mickey Mack as well, put him up there with one of the legends of the game, the goats of the game as well, and of English Rugby League, and Roman Navarrete as well, what he brought to the team last year. And you got fellas like that have been there, and they run the team, they run Catalans, and they, you know, everyone respects them and what the player they are on and off the field. It sort of intrigued me always, the professional, the ultimate professional. And that's why I, you know, when I had Wigan call me, I was very, very lucky as well. And I wanted to learn as much as I could. And I feel like for my age, you know, I don't know if I would get an opportunity like this later on. So I would like to learn as much as I can now, and, you know, and then see where it takes me.
Totally understandable, mate. Anyone else reach out? And how does that work?
Yeah. There's. You know, obviously there's a couple of clubs as well that reached out, but you know, I'd rather keep that unsaid.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I'm not asking for it. It's just fascinating how people can, because I imagine some people want to be in your shoes and want them offers, but don't get
exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I see myself very lucky, to be honest, to have that, to have had that from teams, from other teams, and offers from clubs that are they're big clubs, you know, like Wigan, and even Catalans wanted to extend me. I was very lucky. There's people that don't really get that, and that's why I always saw myself as lucky. It's a blessing.
Also, it's about people realizing Tiaki Chan is Tiaki Chan, not Jason's son, not Joey's brother. You are you, and you're going to go and put yourself out there and show who you are. And at the minute, mate, other than a couple of other clubs, I don't think there's a better place to be than Wigan, looking at recruitment, looking at the setup, looking how close you all look.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's very different here, and I'm loving it every minute here at Wigan. You know, I can't speak highly enough of the place, and everyone that's involved. Everyone involved, like from the staff to the players, to the office ladies, to the managers, to everyone. Like, you know, everyone is looks after everyone. The kit man. It's a good place to be. The culture here is amazing, and I'm just trying to be a sponge and learn as much as I can here.
It looks like you've been there forever. Like I said, you look on the socials, mate, and your front, middle, and centre. You're happy. Everybody's happy, and it doesn't look like anyone isn't buying into what PT wants to do.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. I think everyone's bought in and everyone's buying in, and we all want to be here. And there's no one in this team that is just sitting and wanting to just to tag along. I think everyone's fighting for a spot here, and it's a healthy competition. Everyone's hungry, especially the young boys coming through. You got some young boys like Zach Eke. Jacob Douglas, Tom Forbar, Mako, they all push the Stars to be better. They all push each other to be better. And I think that's massive. Having those boys in here just changes everything.
A culture that you'll thrive in, that see. As much as you can do it self-discipline, there's no harm in knowing someone's up your ass, is there?
No, I think that's what's the best thing about this club, is that everyone... There's no off days when we train. Everyone's given 110% all the time. Everyone wants to get better. Everyone wants a spot. And it's a healthy competition.
Right, mate. I don't mean to go too cliche on you and that, but what are your ambitions this year, mate?
Obviously my ambition is just to write my name down in history in this club. What's it called? A heritage number, to play a game, to play for this club, which is obviously my ultimate goal.
And then collectively, what would you say is the limit for Wigan? Because on recruitment, mate, it looks like the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I'm not going to jinx us or say anything that...
Oh, sorry.
it's all right, but I know that every club's after the same thing. And I think that's what we want to do, and our heads all focused on that. We're all on board to do that. We're all on board to do that, to win. That's what we want.
Right, mate. So I've got a few daft questions for you, if that's all right.
That's all right.
So, any pre-match superstitions? You're quite a chilled guy, aren't you? Or it comes across like you're
that. I'd say they're like routine, but I wouldn't call them superstitions. I'm the only one that's putting my right sock on before my left.
Right.
And my left boot on before my right. Like, that's my only proper superstition. But no, apart from that, I'm just chill.
So the toughest player you played with and against, and the definition of toughest is very different for everybody. Doesn't mean he's going to knock you out of a dig. It could be a big carry, a big tackle.
Toughest player I've played with, Mickey McAloran, easily.
Yeah. He's up there. He's been mentioned a few times.
Yeah, he's evil, man. He's a freak. the toughest player I've played against. I'd say big Sam Cassiano, trying to tackle him is like trying to tackle a brick wall. So yeah, I'd say playing against him last year for Warrington, he's a hard man to take. When he played for Catalans, he was probably the hardest man to tackle in Super League.
Plus, he'll know all the dark arts. He's a seasoned pro, and he knows where to put his arms and his levers. And
oh, he knows everything. He's not.
Right, mate. Your favourite away ground you've played at?
Wigan. When I was playing, it sounds pretty cliche, but yeah, Wigan was probably my favourite place I played at. That first year when I debuted that year, played at Wigan at the end there was, I think everyone was looking around like, whoa, like this is the real deal.
Yeah, do you prefer the newer ones, mate? Do you like the new stadiums?
Like the rugby stadiums.
Yeah.
Well, I love Wigan's one. I know, but like, what are you talking old stadiums? What do you mean?
I think like Cass's or Wakefield's. Do you prefer the Wiggins and Hulls to the Cass's and Wakefield's?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah,
you like
I think that's I do love Wigan's ground. Yeah, I love all the grounds, but yeah, Wigan's probably my favourite ground to go to when I had to go there.
Yeah. So if you could go back, mate, and tell that 9-year-old T something, what would it be?
Just to, work hard. I know everyone would probably say, trust the process. You do. But yeah, just to work hard and lows are lows, but highs are really high. And if you work hard enough at something, you can't go wrong. Can't be disappointed if you try to get something that you want.
I like it, mate, because you're not scared of hard work. That's been one of the main things. Your work rate's right up there, mate, whether it's with a ball in your hand or not.
Yeah, I'm still learning still learning all that, but yeah, I'm trying.
You're a young man, mate. It will come, won't it? You've got to, like you said, be patient, but enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Right, so if you're out with the lads, mate, and you've had a few beers and the microphone ends up in your hand, what karaoke song are you giving us?
Oh, we done one with Tyler actually when we was no beers, but we were just doing a karaoke one of the nights. We done Walking in Memphis.
Yeah.
he loves it. I'll probably have to say can't give you one, man. Far out. I'm not all about that karaoke stuff, man.
No,
probably
your I need beers, me, I mate. I can't do it sober.
Your man, John Turner.
Yeah. Right, mate. I appreciate your career is really young and you're really about to kick off. And if you can, that would be great. If you can't, I understand. But a 1 to 13 that you've played with from being a kid to now.
Number one, Sam Tompkins. I'd have to, like, if, going off, it'd be between Wigan or Catalans, to be honest. On the wing, Tom Johnston, freak. On the other wing, I'd throw Abbas Miski. In the centres, Dean Farrow and Jake Wardle.
Yep.
In the halves, Mitchell Pearce and Tyrone May. Where am I at now? Front row.
Yeah.
No, second rows. Matt Whitley.
Yeah.
Matt Whitley, absolute freak. And either Willie Iso or Liam Farrell. I think both of them are outstanding. Yeah, that's why they've played that many games they have. So front rowers. I'm nine Mickey.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'll put my brother in the second row.
No worries.
Put Whitley and my brother in the second row. Front row is Cassiano, big Cass.
Yep.
At lock, Ben Garcia.
What do you want from your 13, T? Do you want a carrier or a distributor? Or do you like a hybrid player?
I think I like a hybrid. That's why I'd be putting Benny Garcia there. Like, you know,
he
can he's
do
just,
it both, can't he?
He can do it, yeah. And the other front row, I'd put Siwa Tokyo. Yeah.
Right, mate. Just a few things. So when France come along, was that an easy decision, mate, to rep France?
Yeah, I was a bit nervous at first. Obviously, you know, I'm not, my heritage isn't French. I'm not French born or raised, but I do feel like this place, like France, is a home to me as well. I've been living there for 7 years. I was living there, so I couldn't say no to that opportunity to play, and if I get the opportunity, I'll play again. Obviously, my heritage is Samoan, Kiwi. And I'm born as well in Australia, but growing up in from my teens to my early 20s in France, I sort of see myself as French. And I do love the culture there, and I was very lucky to get that opportunity to play for them, and I'll play for them again if the opportunity comes.
And is it as intense as a club game, mate? Do you find it like stimulating to be involved? Are you looking for involvement? How is the international game in your view, and how did you find it?
The international game's a lot different, very different. I think when you play for international, everyone plays good. You play international, you play for your country, don't you? So I feel like, yeah, you empty the tank. You want to make sure that you leave an impression that your country would be proud of, I guess. I think that's how everyone looks at it.
You've been listening to Trot the Egging. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEgging and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.